Welcome to the August 2025 News Bulletin podcast for commercial shipping marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague, I am returning to another favorite hobby horse of mine this month, that old nugget of where will the next generation of marine surveyors come from? It is far from clear to me, and others who I meet, and I do not have an easy answer. Why am I motivated to bring this to your attention again? I believe that those who have had a successful career as a professional marine surveyor should be encouraged to help develop those who will follow in their footsteps and ensure the future of this noble profession. However, it is not just the marine surveying profession that needs to face up to these significant challenges. Many sectors are now utilizing AI technology to replace the human factor, but I remain skeptical that this innovation will replace the role of the hands-on marine surveyor in the short to mid-term. But I take encouragement from initiatives being undertaken in other areas of the marine sector, and let me share just one worthwhile scheme with you. Anglo Eastern is launching Mission 30, an initiative to increase the proportion of its management level officers, i.e. captain, chief officer, chief engineer, and second engineer, under the age of 30 from 1% to 30% by 2030. Now that is a bold target. The company says that in light of the evolving crewing landscape, a tightening talent pool, and the increasing demands for diverse skill sets among seafarers, Anglo Eastern is looking ahead to cultivate a young, agile workforce for management-level positions at sea. Perhaps we are simply faced with a scenario where the next generation wants to do things differently and earn their income in new ways. Whatever the reason for a lack of talent coming through, as an industry we have a responsibility to ensure we encourage and develop the next generation of professional marine surveyors, train and mentor them. Failure to do so will be a serious issue for the boating and shipping industries in the longer term. For much of the past month, I have been traveling. I made my first trip to meet members and others at an IIMS-hosted event in Auckland. My visit coincided with a dramatic storm which hit New Zealand, but that did little to dampen the spirits of those who attended. I'd like to express my gratitude, in particular, to long-standing IIMS member, Stan Collette, who encouraged me to make the long journey, and I am glad I did. It was also a great opportunity to spend time with representatives from Maritime New Zealand, the country's regulator, and I extend my thanks to Mark Potter and his team. We have plenty to discuss over the coming months, it seems too. Those who spoke at the event did so with passion for their subjects, and I have left with the overall impression that the New Zealand surveying profession and those involved in driving new technology are at the top of the game. Leaving behind the indifferent Auckland climate, I headed for Brisbane on Australia's east coast. I hosted a two-day seminar for a group of highly engaged IIMS members, students, and others. I'd like to express my deep thanks to Miku Bati, who assembled such a powerful and varied speaker lineup across the 2 days. Sadly, Mick was unable to be at the event due to unforeseen personal reasons. Topics presented covered corrosion, welding inspections, conducting damage surveys, the impact of AI on surveying, mentoring and electrical surveying. We also heard from Justin and Ash, who work for AMSA, the Australian regulator. I also met Andrew Fielding, CEO of the Boating Industry Association, and had time to chat with him. We have agreed to continue our dialogue going forward. The Boating Industry Association Limited is the peak industry body in Australia that represents the interests of boating. As a not-for-profit organisation led by industry for industry, their mission is to support their members to build thriving marine businesses. Following both events, the feedback I have received, both directly and indirectly, has been extraordinary, and I am grateful to all those who made me feel so welcome and who listened so intently to the presenters. If I have one regret, it is simply I wish I had made it to Australasia sooner than I did. To bring this column right back to where I started, those I met in both New Zealand and Australia also put the next generation of marine surveyors as one of the key priorities and concerns. It seems this really is a worldwide challenge, and we must join together to do what we can to develop and train new talent into the marine surveying sector. Survey well, Mike. For our first segment, we'd like to remind you that there's still time to book onto a couple of our events. The first one we'd like to showcase is our Canada 2025 branch conference in Hamilton on the 22nd and 23rd of October. The local committee is pleased to announce a new date for this event, which was postponed earlier this year. Join us in person or online. Find out more at iimscanada.ca. We also have our practical surveying course in Lyme Regis, the UK, between the 1st and 4th of December 2025. Hosted at the Boat Building Academy facilities, IIMS presents the third edition of its popular residential practical surveyor course. There are only 12 spaces, so book early to avoid disappointment. This is an opportunity to be under the guidance and tutelage of three highly experienced, senior marine surveyors as you work alongside them, inspecting and surveying three vessels over 3 days. The morning of day 4 is dedicated to report writing techniques. For more details, visit iiams.org.uk/events. Next up, how to choose the right marine surveying professional development course for you. And guidance on what to watch out for. Let's face it, education and training in the maritime sector does not come cheap. So, it is important to do some research before settling on your preferred provider. EYIMS has become increasingly aware of course providers who are not all they appear to be. This article offers some practical and valuable advice before you sign up. Today, it seems easy to get duped by seductive social media promotion and marketing, and one International Institute of Marine Surveying member is urging others to do their due diligence before signing up for a professional development course. Firstly, has your chosen education provider achieved an internationally recognized standard? IIMS has taken considerable time, effort and money to gain the internationally recognized ISO 9001 certification with the scope of training services in marine surveying. That means we work to a quality standard that is monitored internally and audited annually by DNV, and we have just come through our first audit since certification was granted last year with no major or minor non-conformities. Read the full article on the IIMS website. For our first story, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada's annual report for 2024-25 has been published, marking 35 years of advancing transportation safety. Since its inception in 1990, TSB has completed more than 2,000 investigations, made more than 630 recommendations, and issued hundreds of safety communications. Over the years, more than 84% of the responses to the board's recommendations have been assessed as fully satisfactory, demonstrating the TSB's concrete impact on the improvement of safety. Marine Transportation Safety, the Year in Review. The TSB received 951 reports of marine transportation occurrences in 2024. The total of 213 marine transportation accidents represents a decrease from the 243 accidents in 2023 and is below the 10-year average of 274. In 2024, 85% were shipping accidents, when a ship, for example, sinks, founders, or capsizes, slightly more than 83% on average over the previous 10 years. The remaining 15% of accidents in 2024 were aboard ship, when a person is seriously or fatally injured, for example, when boarding a ship or by falling overboard, just below the 10-year annual average of 17%. The 12 marine transportation fatalities represent a 33% reduction from the 2023 total of 18 and the 10-year average of 15. Of the 12 fatalities, 8 involve shipping accidents, slightly fewer than the average of 9 per year. As in previous years, a high proportion of the fatalities were related to commercial fishing. Due to this continuing trend, commercial fishing safety remains a key safety issue on the TSB's watchlist. Download the full report at iiimscanada.ca. In our next report, the International Safe Containerized Cargo Organization has published safety guidelines for shipping lithium-ion cells in containers. Lithium-ion cells are the primary elements of a battery and can exist in various forms. Commonly used in portable electronics and electric vehicles, their defining characteristic is the ability to accumulate, store and release electrical energy through the movement of lithium ions between a positive and a negative electrode. According to CINS, lithium ion cells must be handled with care, as they pose several risks if damaged, improperly charged, or exposed to extreme conditions. Proper safety features and handling protocols are critical to mitigating these risks. Lithium ion cells are classed as dangerous goods because of several hazardous properties listed further. Strict adherence to safety standards during handling and transport is required. Fire hazard. Flammable electrolytes can ignite if damaged or overheated, triggering thermal runaway reactions that lead to fires or explosions. Chemical reactivity. Reactive materials may explode or catch fire if punctured or short-circuited. Toxic emissions. Fires release harmful gases such as hydrogen fluoride, which are toxic and corrosive. Explosion risk. Internal pressure buildup can cause rupture or explosive vapor clouds. Electrical hazard. Short circuits or mishandling can lead to burns, sparks, or fires. Environmental risk. Improper disposal can contaminate soil and water, causing environmental harm. Read the full story at iaams.org.uk/news. Another report for you. The Paris MOU has published its 2024 annual report. The detention rate for 2024 has seen an increase, reaching 4.03% compared to 3.81% in 2023. This rise marks a continuation of a consistently high detention percentage observed over several years. The Paris MOU will closely monitor this trend in the coming years to assess its implications. The analysis highlighted a consistent pattern of non-compliance in familiar areas, demonstrating persistent challenges for the industry. Notably, fire safety, SOLIS Chapter 2-2, remains a prominent concern, accounting for 17.2% of recorded deficiencies. This is closely followed by structural and electrical elements of the ship and electrical installations, SOLIS Chapter 2-1, at 11.3%, and issues related to health protection, medical care, welfare and social security protection, MLC Title 4, recorded at 10.4%. At a more granular deficiency level, problems with fire doors and seafarers' employment agreements continue to show high rates of non-compliance. Furthermore, deficiencies related to the International Safety Management Code were recorded in 4.6% of cases, indicating a continued need for vigilance in safety management systems. Read the report at parismou.org. Next, Germany's Federal Bureau for Maritime Casualty Investigation has also published its BSU annual report for 2024, providing insights on marine casualties. The total number of notifications has dropped year on year, 625 in 2024 compared to 698 in 2023. This equals a reduction of about 10%. Unfortunately, this is not yet cause for celebration, as the number of marine casualties according to the IMO code, i.e., accidents that had serious consequences, has remained stable at a high level. Compared to previous years, the figures for 2024 demonstrate that it was another relatively busy year for accidents, with marine casualties remaining consistently high. It comes as no surprise that there are fluctuations in the categories, especially between SMC and LSMC. The SMCs mainly concern grounded vessels that have to be refloated. It is pleasing to note that the number of very serious marine casualties remains low. As in previous years, the most frequently identified technical cause was damage to the main engine. Such damage, or to the rudder, is often classified as a serious marine casualty for regulatory reasons. While these incidents typically go unnoticed by the public and have no direct consequences, they still pose significant risks. Accidents attributed to human error were again primarily due to simple navigational mistakes and errors in judgment. The latter typically involves miscalculations or momentary lapses in decision-making. Incidents resulting from inadequate occupational safety measures also remained common, often causing injuries and, in one case, resulting in a fatality. Such fatalities continue to occur on a regular basis. You can read the report at www.bsu-bund.de. Up next, Transport Canada has announced a concentrated inspection campaign targeting Canadian certified passenger vessels, including those inspected by recognized organizations. Running from June 15 to September 15, 2025, the campaign will assess compliance with the Canada Shipping Act 2001 and its associated regulations. Inspectors will focus on operational safety, including safety briefings, evacuation procedures, and maintenance of life-saving and firefighting equipment. The initiative is informed by recent Transportation Safety Board recommendations and aims to enhance onboard safety and regulatory compliance. More information can be found at the Transport Canada website. Our next report is a UKMAIB report on the fatal accident on the beam trawler Cornishman. On 6 February 2021, a deckhand on the beam trawler Cornishman was fatally injured when the port trawl beam, which had been hoisted to facilitate a repair to the fishing gear, fell and struck him. It was found that a chain that was part of the trawl beam's quick release gear had failed, causing the beam to fall. Safety issues affecting the beam trawler Cornishman were as follows. Risk assessments were not followed and stated mitigations were ineffective, placing the crew at risk while working under a suspended load. The chain type was unsuited to marine operations, where the salt water environment caused environmental cracking. The supplied chain had been unsuccessfully tempered during manufacture, which resulted in a high level of hardness and low ductility. The chain's installation caused it to be led over a fixed pin, which introduced bending stresses to the chain links that were compromised due to corrosion and cracking. You can download the report and its annexes on the news page of the IIMS website. Next, the maritime industry is facing a sharp rise in machinery failures and engine room incidents that modern monitoring systems could help prevent. Those are the chilling words according to CM Technologies. With Classification Society DNV reporting a 20% increase in machinery damage failures during 2024 and engine room fires accounting for more than half of all marine equipment-related insurance claims, CMT points out that advanced diagnostics and monitoring solutions are not just nice to have but should be considered as essential safety tools. Uwe Kruger, Managing Director CMT, said, "Engine and machinery failures continue to catch crews and operators off guard, but effective system monitoring will alert crews to looming catastrophe." According to DNV's Maritime Safety Trends 2014-2024 Preparing for Future Risks, the number of maritime safety incidents has increased by 42% between 2018 and 2024, despite the global fleet growing by just 10%. Additionally, machinery damage or failure was responsible for the highest number of casualty incidents in all years, with this climbing to 60% of all cases in 2024, up from 38% a decade ago. Among other findings, the report notes a rise in fire and explosion incidents, with a 42% increase in the past 4 years. According to DNV, the data shows a clear correlation between vessel age and operational reliability with incidents involving vessels more than 25 years old, accounting for 41% of all reported cases, up from 32% in 2014. Across all age groups, machinery damage or failure incidents grew by 20% in 2024. Up next, Transport Malta has released a report into a fatality on board bulk carrier Yuka D while it was at anchor off Paradip, India on the 22nd of May 2024. The vessel Yuka D discharged a cargo of steel scrap at the port of Chittagong, Bangladesh, using its cargo cranes operated by shore personnel. Upon completion of unloading operations, the vessel proceeded in ballast to the port of Paradip, India, to load a new cargo of steel slabs. Yuka D arrived and anchored off Paradip on the 20th of May 2024. On the morning of the 22nd of May 2024, while still at anchor awaiting berthing instructions, two ordinary seafarers were assigned to clean the interiors of the cargo crane cabins, which required cleaning following the cargo operations at Chittagong. Approximately 30 minutes into the task, one of the seafarers fell from the cabin of cargo crane number 1 to the crossdeck between cargo holds 1 and 2, a fall of about 12 meters. Crew members responded immediately, but the seafarer had sustained fatal injuries. The safety investigation concluded that the likely cause of the fall was the failure of the sealing mechanism of the bottom window in the cabin of cargo crane number 1. As the company had already implemented corrective safety measures, no further recommendations have been issued. Cause of the fall: it was clear that OS1 fell through the bottom window of cargo crane number 1's cabin. Considering that the protective grating above the bottom window pane had been removed, it is likely that OS1 was either cleaning or had intended to clean the bottom window glass pane, which gave way when he put either some or all of his weight on it. Since no technical information on the design load on the glass was available, and in the absence of signs of considerable damage to the double C channel rubber seal, the safety investigation was unable to determine the exact reason why the glass gave way. You can read the full report at iims.org.uk/news. In our next report, Bureau Veritas Marine and Offshore has introduced the Augmented Surveyor 3D, AGS 3D, an AI and machine learning powered tool designed to enhance the detection and localization of anomalies during remote inspections of ships and offshore structures. The tool was successfully tested in a pilot project with Total Energies on a floating production storage and offloading unit in West Africa, where drone inspections of water ballast tanks were used to generate detailed 3D digital models enriched with AI-based corrosion analytics. AGS 3D streamlines inspections by automating anomaly detection, corrosion mapping, and 3D modeling. This automation reduces the need for human presence in confined spaces and enhances the accuracy of defect localization, supporting more effective maintenance and inspection planning. Final data outputs, such as 3D models and defect analyses, are reviewed by experts to ensure quality and reliability. For our next segment, the Bahamas Maritime Authority has published a report into the investigation of a RoPax vessel which capsized and sank in the Bahamas in 2024. On the 11th of July 2024, the Tanzania, Zanzibar, flagged passenger, Ro-Ro vessel Master Ru, was carrying a cargo of bulk aggregate and construction equipment through the territorial seas of the Bahamas. After encountering a heavy squall, water became trapped on deck as the aggregate cargo blocked scuppers and drains, frustrating efforts to use portable pumps to dewater the deck. The vessel became unstable, capsized and sank. Four of the eight persons on board were rescued from a life raft, the remaining four persons are missing, presumed dead. Why it happened? The vessel was not suitable for the carriage of bulk aggregate and no steps had been made to contain the cargo, protect it from water ingress or mitigate the risk of blocked scuppers. The heavy squall was forecasted but the passage plan was not adapted to reflect this information. Regardless, the options to seek shelter were limited, the vessel having started the voyage with one of its two engines disabled. The vessel had been operating on one engine for an extended period. There was no evidence of any effective oversight from the vessel's flag state and the vessel was not in class. Master Ru did not have a safety management system in place and crew were not aware of any cargo handling procedures. The vessel did not have visible load lines and the crew were not provided with stability information. You can read the full report at www.bahamasmaritime.com. Up next, the International Association of Dry Cargo Shipowners, Intercargo, reports encouraging progress in bulk carrier safety, with vessel losses and fatalities continuing to decline over the last decade. However, serious security threats in 2024 demand urgent international action to protect seafarers and uphold freedom of navigation. Its recent publication, Bulk Carrier Casualty Report 2025, identified the loss of 20 bulk carriers, greater than or equal to 10,000 deadweight tonnage, between 2015 and 2024, resulting in 89 seafarer fatalities. Groundings remain the leading cause of vessel losses, responsible for 45% of cases, while cargo liquefaction continues to pose the greatest threat to life, accounting for 55 deaths, which is more than 60% of the total. Cargo shifting, distinct from liquefaction, caused the loss of two ships and 12 lives, highlighting an additional area of concern. The report also showed that bulk carrier losses now average just 2 per year, with a notable decline in average fatalities per casualty over successive 10-year periods. These gains are attributed to improved ship design, better crew training, and stronger regulatory frameworks. Nevertheless, Intercargo emphasized that significant risks persist, particularly those related to improperly declared cargoes, navigational failures and delays in the submission of accident investigation reports by flag states. The average reporting time to the IMOGISIS platform remains over 2 years, severely hindering the industry's ability to learn and implement timely corrective actions. With more than 12,500 bulk carriers in service globally and demand for dry cargo trade continuing to grow, Intercargo reiterated its call for a collective industry commitment to achieving zero loss of life and zero loss of ships. The association will continue to work with its members, international bodies and wider stakeholders to advance this goal, while also advocating for immediate measures to ensure the security of seafarers in high-risk regions. You can find the report at intercargo.org. Next, defense and security contractor, BAE Systems, constructing the next-generation nuclear submarines for the Royal Navy has been ordered to improve its safety measures after a fire broke out at its Barrow in Furness shipyard in October last year. BAE Systems Marine, which is building the UK's largest and most powerful fleet of attack submarines, has been served with an enforcement notice demanding improvements on its safety practices. The notice, served by the Office for Nuclear Regulation, gives BAE Systems until September 12 to put in place measures that ensure the protection of workers in the event of a fire. The notice follows a fire that broke at the company's Barrow in Furness site in Cumbria, where the Astute and Dreadnought class boats are being built. ONR found that five employees entered an area in the Devonshire Dock Hall facility when the fire was still raging in the early hours of October 30. As a result, two employees were taken to hospital for treatment, though they were discharged and returned to work on the same day. Inquiries concluded that BAE Systems' arrangements for ensuring workers did not enter places of danger without the appropriate safety instructions were inadequate. In essence, the company lacked guidance to inform staff on the required actions in the event of a fire. The UK nuclear industry regulator has gone ahead to serve BAE Systems with an enforcement notice under the Regulatory Reform, Fire Safety, Order 2005. Bruce Archer, ONR's head of Propulsion Sites Regulation, Operating Facilities Directorate, said, "We will continue to engage with BAE Systems Marine during the period of the enforcement notice to ensure positive progress is made to address this shortfall." And for our next story, New Zealand has updated its craft risk management standard for vessels to strengthen marine biosecurity controls and biofouling management. The updated craft risk management standard for vessels, effective from the 13th of October 2023, now includes all biosecurity regulations for vessel topsides and biofouling, integrating the former craft risk management standard for biofouling and the craft risk management standard for vessels. Vessels may be required to undergo a biofouling assessment for reasons such as vessel's first arrival to New Zealand, time elapsed since last assessment, increase in risk level, vessel's intentions in New Zealand changing, receipt of new documents, vessel's returning with active notice of direction, or previous assessment failures, are reassessed on return. You can find more information, including changes to biosecurity requirements and compliance actions, by searching online. For our final story, the hidden dangers of fire-initiating cargoes. Following its identification of cargoes of concern, the Cargo Integrity Group is now focusing on issues that may commonly compromise safety by initiating or proliferating fire under certain conditions. It is recognized that many of the cargoes in this category, labeled reactive hazards, already fall within the scope of dangerous goods regulations. These regulations start from the premise that the transport of dangerous goods is prohibited, except in accordance with the details of the regulations. However, incidents still occur too frequently. As the judge in one casualty litigation explained, disasters are only infrequent due to a lack of a similar perfect storm of events and simple good fortune. All that is required is an alignment of mistakes, oversights, or failed controls. The group is at pains to explain the dangers associated with these cargoes and emphasize strongly that only reliance on robust diligence or precise emergency response prevents many minor incidents becoming major casualties. Furthermore, the group is generating greater awareness overall and urges attention to the need for stringent compliance with mandatory regulations, such as the IMDG code, and adoption of industry good practices, such as found in the CTU code. Such cargoes with reactive hazards include calcium hypochlorite, charcoal, cotton and wool, fishmeal and krill and seed cake, and lithium-ion batteries. The group has called for continued and thorough research into all the hazards presented by lithium-ion batteries and dependent devices. Apart from fire, incidents have revealed risks from toxic gases and vapor cloud explosions that can be critical in transport and storage. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.